Oh, what's up, guys? Hey, it's Kate. This is Date Fails. I'm super duper pumped. I'm yelling. I need to calm down. I need to bring it down. Good morning. First of all, it's 1 p.m.
Yes.
2 p.m. I think it's 2 p.m., right?
It's 2 p.m. God, it's morning for comics.
It's morning for us. What time did you get up? Tell the truth.
Today, I did get up. I got up at like 8:30, which is early for
me. Oh, shit.
But it's because I'm flying out today, so I had to get some shit done. But usually, it's like closer to 10.
Oh, 10 is still early for a comedian. I'm impressed,
I'm a nerd.
I love daytime. Like, I'm a morning person. Well,
yeah.
Not morning. I take that back. I'm a daytime person.
Sure, yeah.
Like, I like to be out when there's sunshine and, like, get fresh air. But the longer I do comedy, the more I'm turning into a vampire. I don't want to.
Oh, it's impossible.
Do you go home from gigs? And how long are you awake after a show?
Oh, I mean, at least 2 hours, at least.
It's impossible.
Maybe three.
Yeah. Do you, like, go back and listen to your stuff or write tags? Or what do you do after a show?
After a show, if there's something that, like, stood out in the set that I'm like, oh, I need to remember how I said that, I'll listen to it right away. But sometimes I just want to completely decompress.
Shut
and
down.
Just, like, get away from the show, go watch TV. Like, my fiance and I are basically 86 years old. We'll play, like, the Jeopardy video game. Like, legit.
There's a video game?
It's so fun.
What game system is that?
PS4.
Shut up.
Yeah.
I wonder if you can play it online.
Probably.
I'd be terrible at that, though, because I'm really bad at basic trivia. You probably are really... You seem super smart.
Thanks.
I'm sorry.
I don't know what to say. I guess.
You're one of those people that when I look at you, I go, straight A's in college. That's what I think.
Yeah. Real Lisa Simpson, no fun, like, honor student.
You don't seem like no fun. You seem like straight A's in college, but, like, with a streak of crazy. Because you're a comic.
For sure.
You have to have
some. I mean, I definitely was, like, a binge drinker toward the end of college and stuff like that, and I've scaled it back now. But, yeah, I mean... But definitely growing up, like, that was very much, like, that pressure put on me by my parents. That's, like, you know, you get straight A's and go to good college and be, you know, honor student, all that stuff. So, yeah, I don't know.
That's interesting because, well, first of all, I'll introduce my guest. I always do this. I just start rambling. And then, like, halfway through, I go, no one knows who is here. But I feel like they do because...
They do from the title, right?
They can look at the title. Exactly. Yeah. But, guys, I've wanted to have this girl on for a long time. I really have because, you know, it's hard to find girls in comedy that are available because the ones that are funny are always working.
Yeah, always on the road.
Yeah, so I'm like, oh, who can I get in here? And then I ran into you.
Yeah.
And it just worked out. But, guys, she's blowing up. I feel like you're going to be...
Oh, geez, thank you.
No, you're way on the come up. She just did the Tonight Show, right?
Thanks,
That's crazy.
No, thank you.
And let's see. She's got a great podcast on all things comedy you can check out called Self Helpless. And you do it with Taylor Tomlinson and Delaney Fisher?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. And you guys have to check out Self Helpless. It's Kelsey Cook.
Thank you. Thanks. You're so sweet.
Oh, my God. Well, of course, it's weird that we've only done, I think, one show together over all the years.
Maybe one. Yeah. I mean, there has to have been one in there for sure, but...
There was one I remember at the Laugh Factory. I think it was when you were doing that show with
Aiden with Aiden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the only time.
That's right.
Isn't that crazy?
I feel like I've only run into you maybe a small handful of times.
It's so bizarre
here.
In this town how you feel like you know every comedian, but then every once in a while you see one, you're like, God, how have I never worked with you?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, honestly, I haven't even been in town that often since I moved here because I moved here and then, like, within a few months of that started touring with Jim Norton, and that just kept me out of LA all the time, which is exciting, you know, and good, but, like, people would be like, oh, do you live here? I don't even know that you are a resident of this city.
I get that too. I get that too. And it's funny because being on the road makes you so much better because you get so much stage time. Especially, I feel like featuring, especially because you're right in that prime spot.
Yeah.
You know the crowd's going to be good. You can try out. But it's weird because when you come back, people haven't seen you in so long. So they think you're wherever you left off.
Yes.
Right? So it's, like, weird then every once in a while I'll go up on a show and someone will go, like, wow, what have you been doing? And I'm like, I'm just never here. Like, I'm getting to actually practice for a long time.
But, exactly.
So when I saw you the other night at the store, you were so funny.
Aw, thanks.
And I'd only seen you once, like, 2 years ago, you know? So.
Oh, yeah. The road definitely, like, fast-tracks your progress, I think. And
yeah.
Gives you more of those reps, and you get to make more mistakes and learn more, and definitely.
And also, I was, like, not sure what your act was like, if it was super clean or what, and then I heard you say something about cupcakes and cum on stage.
Yeah, it's honestly, I feel like my act has become a blend of both clean and dirty, because working with Jim, I mean, his crowds want filthy, and so, which I feel like is easier for me to write that way anyway.
Sure.
And kind of like lean into the dirty stuff. But then I've also worked with like Gadda Elmaleh, and then like preparing for the Tonight Show, things where you have to be squeaky, like G-rated clean.
Yeah.
So I've kind of, to me, I'm happy with that, to like learn how to do both. But I do think sometimes I confuse people with like my quote unquote brand or whatever, because they're like, are you, what are you? Because people want to be able to be like, you are this.
Isn't that so frustrating?
Yeah.
Do you feel like you just want to shake people and go, why do I have to be one thing? It drives me fucking insane.
Yeah, it's very, very frustrating. And I feel like I will continue to just fight that, because I don't want to feel like I have to be one or the other. So
it's weird, because I was just talking to Joey Diaz about it, because he was saying how, oh, he was like, I feel like I've been lately listening to too many voices, instead of just like, the reason he is Joey Diaz is because he always was like, fuck everyone, I do what I
yes,
want.
Yes, nobody like him.
Right. But the thing is, as soon as you start to let everyone's opinions affect you, you start to second guess the thing that's making you successful, which
right.
is being you, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really weird, man. I get the same thing. Like, I've scaled way back. Like, I totally admit, I used to post so many hot photos on my Instagram, but people were like, was it for likes? I think it was more just because where I was at in my life, like, I was still doing hot girl jobs. I was newly single. I was insecure. I was like, it feels good. Like, whatever the reason was.
Well, you have such an interesting story, the whole, like, that you were married and in that, you were in that relationship for a long time, right?
Yeah, 19 to 30. Or 18 to 30.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
A long time.
So, I mean, fuck, man. Like, to get out of that and then also be, like, so incredibly hot and Instagram is there. You get so much more validation from posting hot pics. So it's like, it's hard to not want to continue to like kind of feed that machine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But you know what's weird is I only know this because I've been like going through my analytics for just like where to travel.
Sure, yeah.
But I've been looking at which posts are getting the most likes. And this is actually weird, because it made me feel so old that lately my jokes, when I post like a meme or like make a meme, are getting more likes than like my quote hot pics, which is actually making me feel ancient, because I'm like, oh shit, like that joke got 3,000 likes, this photo only got 1,000. Now I feel like,
it
was the weirdest feeling when I realized that was happening.
Right.
But as a comic, I was like, oh good, my jokes are winning now. But then I was like, oh, I didn't think I'd be sad about that.
Well, you know what I was thinking too is like, jokes don't get wrinkly. You know what I mean? Like, jokes and that sort of shit that we invest in comedy is, that's timeless. And it sucks thinking about how in like, you know, 10, 20 years, like, we won't really be posting hot chick photos ever, you know.
Or ironically.
In Vegas. Yeah, exactly. My fucking tits and my socks or whatever. But
when we're old, can we make a promise now that when we're all old, you're younger than me, I think. You're in your 20s still,
29.
Right?
So, almost to 30. Almost there.
30 is, you're so beautiful, you're going to be fine.
Oh
you're
my
just
gosh,
like,
you're very sweet. Thank you.
But I think in like 30 or 40 years, we should all get together, all the girl comics that are like coming up right now, and we should do like a hot granny photo, like a cover of Maxim in lingerie.
That'd be great. That'd be so fucking funny.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so weird, man. But yeah, well, all I know is I'm really happy that you were able to come.
Oh, thank you.
And now
you.
I want to hear, okay, I have so many questions for you, because this is a fun one, because I barely know you, so I can get to know you. So wait, where'd you grow up?
So I grew up in Spokane, Washington. So yeah, eastern part of Washington, kind of near Idaho. It's when I tell people Washington, I think a lot of people assume like Seattle, which is a very different vibe from Spokane. I love Seattle, but I grew up in like the methy part of the state, like very, like the high school I went to was a lot of like future farmers of America and like in the wheat fields. And then like the major city, Spokane, is 20 minutes away. And it's a really interesting place. And I love Spokane so much, but it is not the cool, like, hipster vibe that Seattle is. It's totally different.
I think I was there one time. There's a comedy club there, isn't there?
Yeah, Spokane Comedy Club.
Yeah,
It opened up a year or two ago.
I think I did, like, just a guest set or something.
Okay.
Wait, so do you have brothers and sisters?
I do. I'm the oldest. I have a brother who's 6 years younger than me, and then I have a stepsister and a half-brother.
And then your parents were, like, are your parents married, first of all?
No. So they got divorced when I was, like, five. They were together for 10 years. They met playing in a professional foosball foosball tournament. So, like, I literally wouldn't exist if it weren't for foosball.
They met playing in a foosball tournament. Pro.
Yes, pro. Yeah,
there's pro tournament.
Yes.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it's such a weird, world. It's like they needed to have an MTV True Life, I am a pro foosball player, because to just see what these tournaments are like and what the people are like there, it's insane. It's unlike anything you've ever seen.
I mean, wait a second. Pro foosball players, do they get, like, do they make good money playing pro foosball?
There are a few who do make really good money, and, like, one of them, who's the, I think, the currently top player or whatever, he lives in an RV, and he travels to every major tournament every weekend, and he just gets first in all the events and makes all this money. And that's just how, yeah, that's what he does.
How do you become a professional so you must be amazing at foosball.
Oh, thanks. Well, it's the only thing I've been doing my entire life. You know what I mean? Like, if I had decided to pursue foosball seriously, I would have had such a great advantage over people, because it's, number one, it's in my fucking DNA. But two, like, there are pictures of me standing on a stool when I'm, like, 3 years old with my mom's hands on my hands helping me move the rods. Like, I've played my entire life. So I didn't have really an excuse to be a piece of shit player. Like, I've, you know, been playing all the time. So I love doing it, but that wasn't my idea of, like, how I wanted to spend my whole life.
That's amazing. So as a kid, you were traveling around to foosball tournaments with your parents?
Yeah.
And your brother and sister. You were all, like, family trips?
So it was just me and my younger brother. My stepsister and half-brother kind of came into the picture later.
Oh,
but,
right.
Yeah, I mean, my dad kind of stopped playing. He's still really good, but my mom is in, like, the Foosball Hall of Fame. She's, like, written the World Table Soccer Almanac. She's this whole big figure in the foosball world, and so I will still go to tournaments with her and my brother, and we'll play. And
wow.
Yes.
They must have crazy tennis elbow. Does she get foosball
people
elbow?
People get, like, weird, like, wrist. I've seen people get wrist injuries where they'll, like, rip open all of the skin.
Oh, my
right
God.
Right here from doing, there's a shot called a rollover where you, like, are rubbing it on your wrist and then you roll up and catch it. It's crazy. It's
I know
craziness.
The rollover. I use the magic wand for the
yeah. No, I know. I mean, like,
I've
have
had the same injuries in
bed. Exactly. I mean, I've talked about it on stage before, but, like, my strong wrists, like, make for real scary hand jobs. Like, it can get out of control fast.
Oh, my God. You're like, I'll give you that foosball hand job.
Yeah. It's intense. I have to go easy.
Holy
but, yeah.
Shit. So, okay. So then your parents split up and your mom got remarried eventually.
She still has never been remarried, which is crazy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But she's, like, I mean, she's amazing, and she's actually moving to LA in, like, a month. She just retired from teaching for, like, 30 years. So I'm hoping maybe LA will give her some better options because, you know, this is date fails. She's tried to online date in Spokane, and literally the only people that she matches with look like wizards. Like, they have beards, full beards. They're always holding a fish they just caught. It's just not her arena of people. She has her, like, master's in French literature. She's this, like, amazing, well-read woman, and she just keeps getting these, like, country bumpkins that she wants nothing to do with.
So. I like that your version of a wizard is a beard and a fish. Like, I pictured, like, a monocle and, like, one of those pointy hats.
A Merlin person, yeah. They just, I don't know, they are not the right fit for her, but
I don't think LA is going to make it easier, though, because it's a fucking shitstorm out here.
I know, I don't know.
Did you meet your guy? You have a fiance.
I
now,
do,
which we
yeah.
have to get into, but did you meet him here?
No, we met in the Seattle comedy scene. So that's where we were both doing comedy in before we moved here. So I met him there, like, almost 7 years ago.
Oh, he's a comedian also?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
A successful comedian. See, now I feel like comedian relationships are either the absolute worst or the absolute best.
There's no in between.
Yeah, there's
and
nothing
in the middle.
And
we've been both in our relationship together. We've
really?
Been like, holy shit, how is this going to work? And then times where it's the best, you can't even picture it better. I mean, we've been all over the place, so yeah.
So wait a second, this comedian, I can't believe I didn't know this. Do I know this?
His name's Kane Holloway. You might have done some, like, local shows with him here.
I think it sounds familiar.
Yeah, he's great.
Okay, so there's no, does it get hard at all? Like I used to date a comic who, I've dated a few comics, but one, like, was serious that I really was crazy about, and we were great at times, but I found that anytime I would kind of one-up him career, like, I'm not competitive with whoever I date.
Right.
Because I want, if you do better, I'm going to do better eventually. We're both going to do better, right?
Yeah, you help one another.
But at him as a man, I think it low-key was getting to him.
Totally.
Anytime I would, did you guys find that there's an aspect of competition in there?
Yeah, I mean, we had a couple rough points. I remember right when we first started dating, he was doing better than I was in the Seattle scene. And he'd, like, been in the scene longer than I had. And I remember he got some gigs that I had wanted, and I was like, fuck. And it's never that feeling of like, you don't want that person to get it or you don't think they deserve it. It's just you want it too.
Sure.
It's like that FOMO. You don't want to be left out. You want to be part of it too. So I remember feeling that way then. And then when we moved here and I started touring with Jim was like his number one favorite comedian of all time. And all of a sudden, his girlfriend is not only working with his favorite comedian, but she's gone constantly.
Like, with his favorite comedian.
Yeah, oh, not God. There while he's in LA, like watching our three cats. Like it, we all of a sudden went from being like on a very similar page in Seattle to him feeling like, fuck, you know, because that's how this business works. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, you make a connection with somebody and they can change your life.
Yeah.
And anyway, so we definitely went through a period of time there where he openly told me like, I have a really hard time with this. And of course, and it was never like, I don't support you or I don't think you deserve this. It's just like everything that you've ever wanted is happening for you and nothing's happening for me. And I feel really shitty.
That would be hard. I think especially as a guy in some yeah. ways, because no matter what, even if you are so progressive, you don't feel this way. I yeah. mean, there's something to be said about the guy feeling like they're supposed to be the breadwinner and like the
yeah,
man
the
of the
dude.
House and
yeah.
support you. And so I guess probably
yeah.
that would be even harder.
Yeah.
And especially for comedians, because we're already insecure, which is part of the reason we do this. So then for a guy to be a little maybe insecure and then also like his girl is doing better,
yeah.
that would probably be hard.
Yeah. And I completely understand. And that's kind of the beauty of two comedians being together is that when there's a problem like that that's related to the career, it's like, well, I already felt that way, so I know what that feels like.
Yeah.
I get what you're going through. I can't fault you for feeling that way because I felt it when you had it. And eventually he just got to a point where he got sober. He's been sober for like almost 2 years now.
That helps.
But when things were bad, he was in like such a dark place, like bad with alcohol, like not in therapy, just so many things that him personally, it wasn't going well.
Yeah.
And he just made this like whole big transformation and change. And now I couldn't be with a more like supportive partner. I mean, he's amazing and he's doing so much better. It's just, it's great.
You
yeah.
fixed him up.
Yeah.
You fixed him. You got a fixer upper and you fixed him up and now he's perfect.
Like every fucking girl. Yeah.
See, this is what I do. This is like, you are the comedian that I want to be because you're really functional.
Thank you.
And I'm not even talking about your comedy, although it's great, but yeah. like, I'm just talking about like, you're happy, you're well adjusted. I'm happy. I don't know if I'm well adjusted, but you have a stable relationship and you're working. To me, that seems impossible, but you're doing
thanks.
It.
It took a really long time and like, You do have to sacrifice some things, though, because I got to a point where I realized I couldn't be on the road the amount I was and have that stable relationship.
Right.
Because, like, before he and I got engaged, we had another kind of rough patch of, like, I don't even see you anymore. Like, all of a sudden, we've had this long-distance relationship. I feel disconnected from you. It sucked. And I wasn't happy. Like, I wasn't happy being alone on the road as often as I was, so I started to find other ways to make money, you know, like our podcast started. And it's like, as long as I can feel financially stable staying in town, I don't feel a need to be gone every weekend.
No way.
So
I don't think it's good for
more.
You to be gone every weekend, especially now you're headlining. It's one thing
yeah.
when you're middling because you're with or opening for someone because you're with someone that you're friends with at least.
Yeah.
But like when you first start headlining, I'm very lucky that I have comics that just want stage time. So they're like, I'll pay for my own flight as long as I break even.
Oh, no, amazing.
Feature.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, when you first start headlining, they don't pay you enough to bring an opener and pay them yourself.
No.
So you're alone a lot.
Yeah.
And you're just alone with your thoughts. And it's like, it's so weird to go from like the shows to back to your room by yourself. And if you don't party, which like people think I party way harder than I do. I don't go out for drinks with audience and stuff after shows.
No, it's
I'm
like my
afraid.
Nightmare.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
me too.
I'm like, no.
That's the difference between the male comics and the female comics, I think.
Definitely. Well, it's a safety issue too. Like we're up there talking about our clit for fucking an hour. We don't want these two, you know,
to touch our clit.
Exactly. There's a definite separation between like the jokes we're telling and what we would actually want to participate
every
in
joke
somebody.
Is like an extreme version of what you think, right? But guys really do. Like I was doing a joke for a while about like What was that? That was weird. Did you hear that?
Something like an alien ship landed, yeah.
An alien. God is like, Kate, stop talking. Yeah. Stop talking. No, I was doing a joke just about being so broke and the girls that were watching like Harvey Weinstein jerk off. And I would say like, I would watch you all jerk off for a Target gift certificate, right. Whatever. And after shows, guys would come up to me and be like, so... And I was like, I don't really want to watch. Are you kidding? It's a joke. Like, I'm going to really sure jerk off right here. Let's do it in the lobby.
So many creepy people. I will legit be like people be like, you want to go get a drink? I'm like, no, I'm okay. And then I will go back to my room and I will eat fucking brown rice cakes and almonds and watch like YouTube videos. Like, I am a loser on the road. I don't party. I am like very alone. I just want to eat my almonds in peace.
But you almost have to be if you want the shows to be good.
It's a job. Yeah.
You have to choose because like you can't be super tired and sluggish and hungover or you're going to have a bad set.
No, I mean, I go hard when it's like if I'm just going to Vegas for the weekend with my friends, I'll fucking go hard. But if I'm working, I can't be hungover and do my job.
No. So wait, how long have you been with the guy that you just got engaged to?
Almost 7 years.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wait, so you met him when you were like 22, 20,
yes.
Something like that? So wait, what about before that? Did you date a lot before that?
Not a ton. I was kind of like a serial monogamist. I had a serious relationship from like 17 to 19 and then another one from like 20 through 21, end of 21, something like that. So I'm, again, like very Lisa Simpson, just like such a prude, like... Not a prude, like when I'm with somebody, I'm like a freak and fine doing whatever, but like I have a latex allergy. I'm very like uptight. I'm not like, I can't just casually fuck people. I've slept with 5 people my whole life.
You have a latex allergy.
Yeah.
So no condoms. Unless you use like sheepskin.
Yeah.
Have you ever used a sheepskin condom?
I haven't. I've heard they smell like a Euro and I'm just like, I want no part of that. I have tried polyurethane, which is a nightmare. It feels like.
Polyurethane. That's like trash.
Exactly.
Wait, trash bag.
It feels like a Ziploc bag.
Oh.
It's bunchy and crunchy. It has no form to it. It's horrendous. So for me, it's always just been like, if I like somebody, I usually like them a lot. And then I'm like, well, I want to be in a relationship. And as long as you go get tested, then we can fuck without a condom because I'm on the pill. But but it doesn't make for casual hookups. You know what I mean?
That's funny because I've only ever heard guys say they have a latex allergy when they're trying to get out of using a condom. So I was starting to think it wasn't a real thing.
You know? Well, I mean, I can't speak for those, but there's probably a bunch of douchebags out there. But like I mean, the story I told for This Is Not Happening was that like the first time I tried masturbating, I used this like manicure tool that my mom had and it was made of this like grippy rubber material and my vagina swelled shut and I had to go to the emergency room.
Wait.
Yeah.
The first time you tried masturbating, you just used a tool? A manicure tool?
Did you ever see those infomercials? It was like this handheld thing. You could put little tools on top to buff your nails.
Yes.
So the handle was shaped like a dick. And like all my friends in high school were losing their virginity. And I hadn't yet. And I was like, this is bullshit. I want to know what sex feels like. So instead of just like, you know, like a normal high schooler just being like, oh, I'll just go find a guy to have sex with. I was like, no, I'll just use... this fucking nail salon device, whatever the shit. And I put it up there and I took it out and it was like burning right away. And I looked at it with a mirror and the whole thing had just like swollen shut.
That had to scare you off masturbating. You were like, everything mom said is true. Oh, I really am going to go blind.
Exactly. No, I still don't own a dildo. I don't own any toys. Like that's how much it fucked me up because I was like so scarred for this for forever.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
You don't need them though. You can use your hand.
I got my quick wrists. I'm good.
You got your foosball hand.
DJ.
Aren't they a little callous though? Yeah. You probably have to scrape the calluses.
Oh my god, how funny if you looked at my hand, it was just like blistered and bleeding. Oh my god,
do you wear gloves for foosball?
I use handle wrap. So if you look at the foosball table out in the lobby, it's wrapped. It's the same things that are on tennis rackets. I know you play tennis a lot, right?
I do.
So you can buy them at Big Five. And you wrap the handles so that you have better grip.
I see. It's like that stuff actually on the tennis racket. It's real soft. Like it's like stress ball material.
Oh, almost. Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah, I really like that. It's funny. I built this game table. It's a saga that I've been talking about online because I bought a game table for my apartment.
Yeah.
The foosball is what started it because I always wanted foosball and pool. Yeah. This has all those things. But it's cheap as fuck.
It's like Fisher Price. Like you flip the board and it becomes ping pong or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it has 10 games. You just keep taking a thing off and there's one more game.
It's like lasagna.
Yeah.
All these layers.
Yeah. But the funny thing is, it was only $160. And it's not bad. It's for kids, but I'm sure it'll be fine.
That's great. I mean, a solid foosball table is like a grand.
Oh, yeah.
So if you got something for $160, it's a great deal.
I'm sure it's not the most professional grade foosball table or anything else. But but what's funny about it is it took 3 days and like five people for us to put
to assemble
it. Because I kept having friends over to do it and we'd start drinking and then everyone would be a little buzzed and then everything we'd have to stop. So I'd be like, this is going to go terribly.
Oh, my God.
And then we finally finished it. And then I found out. I called the company because I was short on parts.
Yeah.
And they were like, you know, for $60, we would have sent somebody to build it. And I was like, fuck.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, that would have been worth it for sure.
But, you know, there's my blood and sweat is in that foosball table. So.
It means more now.
Yeah. I would have you over to play, but it would be very disappointing for you when you saw it. You would go, no, we can't. We it's probably slanted.
Oh, fuck no. See, I'm so, like, so snobby about the foosball tables I play on. If I go into a bar and there's one in bad shape, it's almost like I go into, like, the pound, and I see a dog that's in bad shape. I'm like, yo, this is not okay.
Are you
and
serious?
And I'll be like, I've gone into bars and been like, do you guys have any vegetable oil in the back or any sort of oil? And I will, like, grease up the rods. I will, like, wipe down the top. It makes me sad to see, like, an abused foosball table. I'm like, nobody takes care of them.
Yeah, that's heartbreaking for most of us.
I know. This is the most unrelatable thing I've ever talked about.
It's not though, because everybody has something like that. Like for me, if I see a tennis court that has a bunch of like potholes on it, I'm like, what the fuck's the point?
Right? Why is
this? Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Have you ever played strip foosball with anyone?
I think my high school boyfriend. Yeah, I think we did that at one point. But I haven't had a foosball table in my apartment like as an adult. I just had one in my house because they're so loud.
They are really loud. That is a problem. And my friends, when we play, it's always like late after shows. So neighbor hates me for sure. But, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, you have to have a life.
Yeah. They're also fucking gigantic. And like, I mean.
And heavy if they're legit.
Yes. Yeah. Financially, I'm not in a place where I can like afford a foosball room yet.
You don't have a foosball room in your house?
I mean,
how are you a comedian?
I know. God. But
hopefully. Do you get the messages from people now that you've done like the Tonight Show and this is not happening and like you have TV credits and you're with Jim Norton and people message you like, congrats on all your success, like you're killing it in Hollywood, like people think that you have elevated to like you're a millionaire and you're living
like
in the hills,
Kevin Hart yacht level. It's so funny. It's like it doesn't do what it used to. I mean, people said so many times that like back in the day if you did the Tonight Show you were like signing a sitcom deal the next day and it would change you overnight. And now, I mean, like, it does definitely help, and it changed my life, absolutely, but not in the same way that, like, it used to.
It's not as extreme.
Right,
don't you feel like the just celebrity in general is becoming a watered down? I mean, there's just so many famous, quote, famous people between social media, YouTube, TV, film, that now I feel like you could be a movie star, and half the country still doesn't know who you are.
Absolutely.
It's bizarre.
When on the financial end too, I just was reading this Rolling Stone article about how Johnny Depp is like bankrupt, basically. He's like broke because the man spends so much money on shit that you just like, he shot Hunter S. Thompson's ashes into the ocean with like a $5 million cannon.
That's clearly important.
Exactly. That's, and it's like that, and that's wonderful and great, but it just goes to show that even if you are making that level of money, if your expenses are also at that level, you might as well work at fucking Subway.
It's 100% real. And also that people get so the same thing happens with athletes and everyone sees it. It's like they're making so much money for a brief period. They get used to a lifestyle. I mean, that even happened to me when I was married. Not that I was a millionaire, but I was making a lot more money. I got used to a certain lifestyle. And it took me a few years after my divorce to stop spending money the way that I was.
Fuck, that's a hard transition. For sure.
Yeah, like I spent 3 years on the road doing gigs where I got per diem for food every day. So I had $50 a day to spend on food. So I would eat whatever I wanted and buy whatever I wanted.
Right.
And I would just be like, it's per diem.
Right.
It took me like 2 years to be like, oh shit, food costs a lot when it's not free.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh
like,
my God.
It was crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and that's why I live in a tent now, guys. Please.
Live in a yurt in the parking lot.
People are like, do you have a place I can send you something? Like, do you have a, what is it called? A UPS, what are the box
Venmo?
Called?
A box. Oh, a P.O. box.
A P.O. box. Yeah. People are like, do you have a P.O. box? I'm like, I barely even have a home address. You're
I know.
Crazy.
P.O. boxes are expensive, FYI.
Yeah, that's like, not free. And then I have them send them to the Laugh Factory. I hope they're not getting mad.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
They're like, Kate, you have a package. I'm like, that's weird. I wonder why.
That's actually a great idea.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea.
Have them send to the Laugh Factory.
Yeah.
They're going to love me for saying
that.
All right. So you found this guy and then you told me that you got engaged recently.
Yeah.
And you got engaged here?
Here, right here in this studio.
That's, see, nothing like that happens for me. The closest thing that's happened to me is I spilled a drink and a guy got on one knee to clean it up. Like, that's literally the closest. Yeah. So how did you that's get awesome. Engaged? Was it on your podcast?
It was on our podcast. He fucking killed it. He did such a good job because there's actually, this is like a longer story. We got engaged after we'd been together for like 8 months. So This was the second time we've been engaged. We have like a weird story. So we got engaged because we were dumb and young and just like so in love and thought, well, we've been together for like 8 months. We must know everything there is to know about each other at age 22. We should make this lifelong commitment. So
that's what I did, by the way.
Is that? Oh, well, you said 19, huh? So yeah, you were young.
I was 19. We were together for a year.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So I get it.
Yeah. It's. Yeah. And in the time, seems so right, and everything's great, and we found this, like, $25 ring in this, like, vintage shop or whatever. It was this, like, cubic zirconia ring, and I basically, like, ruined the proposal. I was just being a fucking psycho. I was being so, like, just all up in his business. And anyway, we were engaged for maybe 6 months or a year, and during that time, we just fought the whole time. We were just constantly bickering. It was clearly not what was supposed to be happening. And so we just both sat down and thank God we were both on the same page. And we just like, this was not the right move. Like, we are not ready to get married. We just need to take this off the table. We'll tell our friends and family, like, hey, we're not breaking up, but we just need to call this engagement off.
Did you keep the ring?
I did. But it looks so gross. That's so funny. Like, you can really tell the difference between like a $25 ring and then he went and got me like an actual diamond ring, and I fucking love this ring, and it's so beautiful. It's just, it's funny to see what happens. It's like those McDonald's fast forward videos where you watch something decay. That's what that ring looks like now, where I'm like,
no way.
Dude, this looks like an old Big Mac. This looks gross.
I want to see it.
It's nasty looking.
Can I have it?
Just kidding. You can fucking have it if you
want. Can that be my engagement ring to myself?
It's disgusting, but you can have it. And so we took that back off the table, and like immediately things got better, and you could tell that pressure was gone. So then everything, like nothing else changed in terms of we still were living together, still together. And then, you know, fast forward another like 5-6 years, something like that. And we went and looked at rings together at an actual like jewelry shop in downtown LA, because we were talking more about like, yeah, this seems like how this is supposed to feel now before we take this step. And so he knew that I really loved this ring, but he played the whole like, I don't have any money card. He was like, I don't have any money saved up, so.
And he's a comedian, so you're like, I believe
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. I'm like, yo, I live with you. Like, we feed the same three cats together. I know what the kind of money
you're
you have.
You're feeding the same three cats out of one can for one
yes.
month. Yeah, you're like, I know what's going on.
Yes, exactly. So I totally bought that and was like, yeah, no, that's totally fine. He's like, yeah, probably I won't be able to get you something like that for a long time, but just, you know, it's good to know what you like. I was like, okay. Apparently, he bought it, like, the next day. Like, went in, he had, like, saved up money, all this shit, and then he contacted Taylor and Delaney, my co-hosts, and he was like, I think it'd be cool to do it on the podcast. It'd be fun to have you guys there. That way we'd get it on video and on audio. It'd be really cool. So the girls were like, oh, Kane wants to come be like, a co-host on our anniversary episode. We did, like, a self-helpless one-year anniversary thing. And I was like, oh, that's a great idea. It was, like, fucking way over my head. I had no idea. So he came. We did the episode, and then at the end of the episode, he's like, I've got one more thing that I wanted to say, and he pulled out this letter, and it's got all this fucking writing on it, this long letter, and he starts reading it, and it's this, like, serious love letter. And, like, we just had finished talking about, you know, like, yoga and fucking smoothing shit, and I was looking at the girls, like, embarrassed. I was like, ooh, I don't know why he's doing this. Like, I was, like, almost apologetic to them because there was nothing in me that thought this was a proposal. I thought there's no way this is a proposal.
You were just like, why is he ruining the podcast?
Yeah, I was like, this is so intimate. And I was like, ooh, this is uncomfortable. I'm sorry. And then he gets to the end of the letter, and you can see it in my face, the whole video, that I, like, I don't understand what's going on.
I can't wait to see this.
It's pretty good. And then at the end, he's like, I've been calling you my girlfriend for 6 years, and I think that's long enough. I was just wondering. And then he, like, walked around the table, and he pulled the fucking jewelry box out and got on me and was like, well, will you be my wife? And I, you know, everybody's freaking out. It's crazy.
Holy shit.
He did such a good job. And then, like, there were friends of ours waiting at a restaurant nearby that we all went, and, like, it was just, like, surprise after surprise. I was in shock for, like, a solid week.
Oh, that's such a good story.
Yeah, he broke my brain.
And also smart on his part, because you could not say no.
Good
you
point.
You can't say no. You would look like the biggest bitch of all time.
Such a cunt.
That's what I always think when guys propose in public. They're kind of forcing you to say yes in the moment, at least. But luckily, you wanted to say yes anyway.
Thank God. But yeah, I feel like you jumbotron that shit at like Fenway Park.
You have to
you
say yes.
You better say yes, right? Or you are a villain.
It's like even the first time I did, you know, Stuttering John Melendez from the Howard Stern Show. Do you know who that is?
I know the name. Yeah.
Well, he basically used to have a podcast years ago when Lovitz Club was still open. We both had podcasts there. And that's where I started Date Fails originally so long ago. Yeah. And he asked me to come on his podcast. And then on the podcast, he asked me on a date. And we're streaming live. Oh. And I felt like you can't say no.
Shit.
So I said in the moment, I said, yeah, we can. He didn't call it a date. He said, like, you want to have dinner sometime? I'm like, yeah, we can totally. And then after the show, when he started trying to make plans, I was like, well, you know, it's just his friends. Like, I don't want to. It's not a date.
Yeah.
And then he was like, well, I don't need a friend. I just wanted to take you on a date. And then he's like, we're already friends. And I was like, oh, yeah, no, I don't really think I want to date you.
God.
And so he's going to get mad at me for telling this story. But
that's so funny.
He made me come back on his podcast. And then he like called me out for saying yes and then reneging. And then I was like, well, you asked on a live show.
Yeah, what do you
can't
want from
say
me?
I could say no.
Ugh.
Yeah, it was really funny. I was like, this is why. But now I just say no.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now I learned. I grew up, guys. But you said
it's
yes.
It's hard. So I've had that happen.
When's the wedding?
In a year.
Damn.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
I am too. Do you have any plans yet? Do you have any ideas what you're going to do? You don't have to tell it all if you don't want to.
Oh, it's okay. It's going to be down in the San Diego area, and I'm super excited. It's so funny how differently I feel this time than the first time, and I'm grateful that we had that like failed engagement because now I get to really feel like, oh, this is how you're supposed to feel. You're supposed to actually feel excited to spend your life with that person, not be shitting your pants and being like, I don't even fucking know this person. Why am I doing this? And
Guys live together now too, right?
Oh yeah.
Did you live together the first time you got engaged?
Yeah. Moved in together after 2 months of dating. Again, just like psycho comedians, just crazy
people. Holy shit.
Crazy people with no boundaries. It's a miracle that we've even worked this long because we just broke every rule.
What's even crazier is that you got engaged and then you ended the engagement, but you stayed together, stayed living together.
Yeah.
Because I always feel like if you go backwards, it's a sign that you're going to keep going backwards.
Exactly.
You broke my theory 100%.
Well, you've also, I mean, I'm sure you've heard about people who are dating and then they completely break up and maybe they date other people for a year or two and then they get back together and they get married. I feel like I hear that situation a lot where it's like they needed to see what else was out there.
For sure.
To be like, I actually had it right the first time.
Yeah.
Now I can commit to you with like getting married and all that shit. But
that could happen.
Yeah.
But not you two. You two made it work all the way through.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy.
It's craziness.
How about this? Okay. I'll ask you just a few more questions because I know you got to get out of here in like 10.
Yeah.
So one is you said that it has happened to you that someone's maybe asked you out on a show or something. Have you had any weird situations like creepy fans, casting couch, casting, like anything that's happened that's been a little like, ooh.
Yeah, I mean, definitely like I have things happen after shows pretty often because comedians are so different from like musicians or whatever, where if you go to a concert, the musicians generally aren't standing next to the stage afterward being like, buy me a shirt. They're on a tour bus and there's like a security person or somebody at the venue. But we're so accessible. We're right there. We take pictures with people. Like, you touch us. People can just put their arms around us because we want to give people the benefit of the doubt and assume that they're just nice fans who genuinely want a picture. But I've had guys come up to me and be like, I had a guy come up to me at Gotham in New York and was like, it was a great set, but, and he grabbed my hips and spun me around and goes, but I like your ass better.
No.
And security just like fucking grabbed him. Dragged him out. But shit like that, that's so awful where somebody's like physically putting their hands on you and like manipulating, like rotating you around. I was like, oh God, it was, that made me fucking, ugh, I hated that. I hated
that
so much.
Crazy.
Yeah. So I've had that. Just a lot of creepy dudes who will come up and want to talk more about like if I did a sex joke. And, you know, I'm sure you get this, too. Or
they want to hear the rest of it or, like,
yeah
they want to go, like, oh, you really like to be tickled? I'll tell you up right.
Yeah, the whole, you know, the cupcake joke you heard, you know, people come up being like, so what do you like to do with food? And it's just like, oh, fucking no, I don't want to talk to you about this. Like, get out of here. So yeah. I get that a lot.
Yeah. You know what's really creepy is, like, I have a couple. I'm grateful for every fan. And it's weird because I finally just started blocking ones that creep me out. Because for the longest time, I block
all the time now. It's great.
I do now. Like, if you say anything that even rubs me the wrong way, it doesn't even, even if you're joking and I don't know you're joking and it seems rude, just whatever it is, I just don't want negative energy in my life. So I just block, block, block.
Life's too fucking short.
Yeah. But for the longest time, I was just like, but I'm grateful for every fan. So I wouldn't. And there was one guy in particular. I think he really legitimately thought we were like a couple. Like he's cuckoo cuckoo.
Oh, God.
And he would show up at shows and he would tell them like he was my boyfriend and they would let him in. You know, and then after shows, like one time I was in Long Beach. This guy, he came up. I recognized him. I was creeped out. And he walked up to me and I was so freaked, Kelsey. I started walking backwards and I tripped over a chair. I fell down, hit my head because I was so creeped.
Oh my God, that's awful.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's like, that's what you're saying. Like, as comedians, we are there. So if someone does get a weird, like, crazy thing in their head, like they know you or your friends, then they really will, like, just show up and they can get to you.
It's scary. And we post our show dates. It's like, it's fucking stalker dream.
Well, and the podcasting.
Oh,
it makes you, because I don't know how you guys are. I want to listen to your guys' podcast. I don't listen to any.
Oh, thanks.
I'm always too busy, but I'm very personal on mine.
Same with ours. We've had people, I mean, it's blown my mind. I've never experienced anything like this except for with the podcast where we're getting people come up to us and be like, oh my God, when you responded to my email, I started crying. And you're like, what? Holy shit. But it's because podcasts are so intimate and people will listen to you for hours and hours and they feel like they really know you. And a lot of time so far we've only fortunately had amazing fans and amazing listeners. We haven't had anybody creepy with the podcast yet. But like, it is really interesting how people really feel like they know you from the podcast.
Oh yeah, 100%. Well, and like, sometimes, you know, I did one not like too long ago, 6 months ago or something, where I went through like a rough kind of, not even a breakup, but like an end of a relationship sort of. And I don't usually share sad stuff. I'm always like trying to be happy and funny. But I was like, you know what? I almost didn't even want a podcast. So I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to tell the truth. And I got more responses. It was my most listened to episode ever other than Jim Jeffries. Yeah. I got more responses from people just being like, oh my God, I've been there. I relate. Like people really, when you share that side of you, they connect to you.
Yeah.
But then they really do feel like you're all BFFs, which is a good thing when it comes to showing up at shows. But just if you're a guy, don't touch below the waist or the boobs. Just keep your hands on our shoulders. That's all we ask.
That's all.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, talking about, like, speaking of blocking people and all that stuff, the internet trolls that I'm sure you and I both get, but I was telling you how funny it was before we started recording that somebody recently left a comment on my Laugh Factory video on Instagram that was like, oh, I didn't know that Kate Quigley got fat.
I fucking hate that. That's fucking retarded.
Yeah, I just saw that and I was like, well. That sucks.
That's really... Fine. Isn't it so stupid how, like, everyone thinks there can only be one blonde... Like, people will, you know, say, like, oh, watch out, so-and-so, Kelsey Cook.
We all get compared
up, like,
to one
Nikki
another.
Right,
if
exactly.
you're a blonde, white,
that's
female
it.
Comedian.
Like, there can only be one.
Yes.
There can only be Eliza or Jessamay or you.
Yes.
Or me. It's like, why? There's a million things for all of us. That's what's great about the podcasting.
Yes.
And the internet. And, now... Maybe at one point in time, maybe there was only room for one Amy Schumer, but now there could be a dozen Amy Schumers because the internet, we can all do our own thing.
Our own thing.
Yeah, it's so dumb. It's so dumb.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so glad you came, too.
Oh, yeah,
I want
of
people
course.
To see that, like, we don't all have to be like, you can't make it and I can. We can all make it.
No, of course. I think this is, like, a super fun podcast concept. And, I mean, again, you and I. Do this and I've had so much weird internet troll. I've had like Reddit pages dedicated to taking photos of me and photoshopping 5 extra foreheads. People who are like obsessed with. I've had people photoshop Jim's face onto my forehead mole. I've had
that's actually funny.
Yeah,
I would use that on a flyer.
Oh, I know, it's kind of amazing and also so horrific. But I mean. Yeah, we deal with so much mean shit all the time.
I know.
It's crazy.
I know. It's so hard. And then people go, don't read the comments. Don't look. And I'm like, but I want to engage with my followers. So I have to.
It's too late. Like, once you see it, it's already too late. Like, what are some of the meanest things that you've had to deal with like, internet troll shit like that?
Well, I mean, for me, it's like people hit you in your insecure spot, whatever, because,
totally.
You know, we all want respect from other comics. So a big thing for me is that sometimes I feel like no matter how funny I get or how much I grind or how much, I mean, I'm going on the road doing 7 shows a weekend, whatever. And then people still are like, oh, well, why don't you let your comedy speak for itself? Why do you have to post a hot photo? And I just want to be like, I post 15 fucking jokes and then I post one photo and they're not even quote hot, but it's like if I'm at the pool.
Right.
And I'm in a bikini and then I'm in it in the photo. Then it's like I'm using that. I guess for me, it's just I get tired of that same thing all the time.
Right.
And I'm trying to ignore it. But most of the time, it just makes me laugh. The troll remarks,
right.
For the most part.
Well, it's like what you're saying that you said you started out posting a lot of the hot pics and that now you feel like. Did you say that you feel like you wish you hadn't posted so much or that you're just like transitioning more into like not wanting to post as many?
I think it's really just that. Yeah. Like I think it's partly that I have grown up. I've gotten older. Partly that my brain is in more like because back then I had a show on the Playboy channel. Like I had a TV show on Playboy TV. And then I also like was doing I had shot a beer commercial. So I was doing a lot of like the beer promo events. And so, I mean, back then I had more reasons.
Yeah.
But. Part of me
and
now
it fucking worked for your business, by the way. You know, like you have a fuck ton of followers.
Well, you know, thank you. Yeah. I mean, Sam Tripoli, actually, when I first started, Sam is one of those guys, like we were talking about Felipe and how he's so supportive of women.
Yeah, I love Sam.
Sam is one of those guys that from the beginning was like, Kate, you know what? Get eyeballs on you and then worry about being funny. But get followers because he's like, the business is changing. Sam like saw into the future.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. So he was like, but find a way to make it funny. You know, so that's why I started wearing the bikini in weird places like grocery stores,
and
banks, because I was like, oh, I can kind of make it funny. You know, hospitals, like pushing a gurney.
Right.
But it's like your photo, the one that so you're going to be, tell them where you are this weekend, first of all.
Oh, I'm in Boise. I'm headlining Liquid Laughs in Boise, and then it will be Hilarities in Cleveland the week after that, and then American Comedy Company in San Diego 2 weeks after that. So if you're in any of those places, August, I'm on the road a lot.
Yeah, so follow Kelsey to see where she's at. Go see her this weekend in Boise.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, like, the photo of you that I retweeted for your Boise date. Like,
oh, yeah.
Hot, but it's not, like, slutty. It's just a hot, you look great. You look beautiful.
Thanks.
You know, you're in a dress. And it's like, there's no reason that you can't be funny and beautiful and look sexy.
It's hard. I'm sure you've dealt with this and maybe still deal with it, but it is hard to find that balance of, like, getting that positive validation from the internet when you do post a sexier photo, as opposed to like if I post a photo of, like something like a little sexier, like a makeup photo, as opposed to my cats, I'm 100% gonna get more followers and more likes and interaction with a sexier photo. It's hard to not go, oh, well, then why wouldn't I just keep posting those? But it's like comedy. I feel like doesn't leave any room for anything else besides that you're supposed to be this like really hardened fucking garbage troll that is just like, just me and my jokes. And
right.
Because I felt so self-conscious about posting like makeup things for a long time because I was like, people aren't going to take me seriously if I have any hobbies that are not
comedy.
But again, that's the shit where I'm like, I don't care anymore. Like, I don't care. I love that I'm a fucking foosball nerd and I'm like making that a bigger part of my career now. And like, I don't give a fuck if I took an hour to do my makeup. It made me feel nice and it's art and I'm gonna keep fucking doing it.
But
you know?
Isn't it funny that we both said at one point to be taken seriously as a comedian when the whole fucking point is to not be taken seriously. Like, it's not a serious, but it's jokes and...
That's a good point,
and
yeah.
And truthfully, the thing is, your job is to relate to people. And if all you do is be a fucking clown all the time, nobody can relate to that because everybody has a million different hobbies and experiences. So you might as well, you know... if you love makeup and you did the smart thing, you used that gift and you used to do those videos.
Yeah, stand-ups doing makeup.
I loved that.
Thanks.
I thought that was so funny. So,
thanks.
You know what? I just think you're great.
Thank you.
I know you
Kay.
Have to go.
You're so fucking sweet. Thanks for having me on.
Oh my God. I'm so happy that you came. There's one thing I ask everyone if you have one. If you don't, it's fine. Yeah. Which is like the worst date fail or sex fail or just any. Well, I mean, your one masturbating story is pretty
fucking
bad. Yeah,
that was my own. That's like the worst solo mission for sure. It was fucking like killing my pussy. But I was in a relationship with a guy who had borderline personality disorder before my fiance. So that's like, that's a whole other big thing. I'm trying to think if there's like a specific. So the thing is, like, I haven't dated that much. There was a guy who I was with for a bit when I was in college, and he was just like a really, really, really sweaty guy, especially in bed. And I remember having sex, and he was a lot taller than me, and his chest was like over my head.
Ew.
And I remember like a sweat droplet dropping from his chest into my eyeball and being like, okay, like I've never gone drier faster and just like, I need out of here. Like 911. I cannot do this. I was so grossed out. And he also had like really, really long nutsack. And I remember it was like, do you remember like soccer pals? Do you remember soccer pals where it was like that like net with a soccer ball at the end and you would kick the soccer ball, but you could still hold on to the end? Anyway, his nuts looked like a soccer pal. And it was, you guys can Google image it if you're listening to the podcast right now. And they will look exactly like what I'm talking about. And so his balls would like whap.
Swing again.
Yeah. And he was super hot. He was like this really good looking guy, but it was just like a couple things like that I was like,
so during
rough.
That, did you know it was over during the sex? Like, did you decide?
I think it was one of those situations where we were both very physically attracted to each other, and then just sexually, it did not work.
Isn't that
like
weird?
It wasn't good sex for whatever reason. Like I felt like I wasn't my best. He probably felt like he wasn't his best, and we were just like, this isn't gonna work.
That's the worst, but at least you both knew.
Yeah.
It's better when
very
you both
mutual.
Know.
Yeah.
I had a guy like that I told him afterwards.
Oh, okay.
I didn't tell him right after because I didn't want to hurt his feelings, but like the next day when he asked me out again, I was like, you know, I hate to say it, but the sex between us is just not really what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And I remember he was like, well, I'm out of practice. You were my first in like a year or something. And then I was like, yeah, I just don't think it's really going to work out.
Oh, that's like a sweet thing to say, but also like such not a good selling point. I'm like, I don't want to be your fucking warm-up job.
I'm out of practice.
Yeah.
I know. I'm like, why don't you get some reps in and try me again in another year?
Yeah. That's so funny.
Well, Kelsey, you're awesome.
Oh, thank you
again.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
Really fun.
Of course. They can follow you at Kelsey Cook on everything, right? Or Kelsey Cook Comedy.
It's Kelsey Cook on Twitter, Kelsey Cook Comedy on Instagram. I know that's a real bitch to figure out how to merge those two. And then kelseycook.com and self-helpless podcast.
Yes, and make sure you guys check her out this weekend in Boise and then her other dates online. You're the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I love you.
Having me.
Of course. All right, guys. Bye.